This is File 48, Cycle 3. This is Jean McMillan. Today's date is August 2nd, 2018. I am interviewing Patricia Wright, who is the current director of Chore Service. She's going to talk about her background, Chore Service, and anything else that tickles her fancy. But first, we'll start with the hard stuff. What is your name?
My name is Patricia Wright, known as Pat.
And you are now the current director of Chore Service. When did you become the director?
June 1st of 2015.
And who were the previous directors?
Ella Clark was the founder and the first director for many years. And then Heather...
I've got it.
Deneen. Was the director just before me for... 2.5 years or so.
And you had quite a career background. You've done just about everything. Tell me about being a teenager at GEAR.
At GEAR? I was working at GEAR as a nurse's aide back when I was probably 18 or 19. My mother was there as the supervisor of nursing. And so I had started working as a nurse's aide in Great Barrington and then switched down to GEAR.
In Great Barrington, were you at Willowwood?
No, I was at Timberland Heights. It actually is back to being called Timberland Heights.
Yeah.
And there I had done almost everything in the nursing home. I had worked in occupational therapy. I had done housekeeping. I had done laundry. And I learned how to be a nurse's aide.
Okay.
With a good friend of my mother's.
But it's wonderful training. It's wonderful training.
It was. It was my first real work with the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it. I was an occupational therapy aide in between my junior and senior year of high school.
Ooh.
And really enjoyed that. I actually offered to drop out of school so I could keep the job. And my boss, who was also my mother's boss, said that my mother would kill him if I did that.
Yeah, that's probably right. But you went on to Boston University and got your master's.
Well, it was years later because when I was working at GEAR, I got married and I got pregnant and had my first daughter. And a couple of years later, found myself single. And remarried and had another daughter. And we went to Alaska.
Oh, my.
And that was in Kodiak, Alaska, is where I started going to college. And then after I went to school up there for a couple of years and then came back and finished when we were living on Cape Cod. So I got my bachelor's degree from Bridgewater State College and then my master's from Boston University.
I almost went to Bridgewater State.
It was...
good school.
It was. And I went there for 2 years because I had my associate's degree from Cape Cod Community College. And it was within commuting distance.
Yeah.
And it was very good. And I got a good enough education there, so I managed to do my master's in 1 year.
Oh!
I got advanced standing and
Wow.
did my master's in 1 year.
That's unusual.
Well, it was very important for us because my husband was in the service. And he had to get a one-year extension for me to go to college. They gave it to us, and they kept their word, and they moved us out a week after I graduated. So
I'm glad they kept their word.
They did.
Oh, good.
It was very helpful.
And you said that you did everything except alcohol...
Yeah, when I mean, I've worked with people with alcoholism and with alcohol and drug issues just because it coexists with so many other issues.
Oh, yeah.
But that was never the focus of the work that I did. And that was on purpose because early in my career I had to work with people that were had issues with alcoholism, and it was just not the recidivism... The lack of a success rate, and the frustrations in that just made me realize it was not something I had the wherewithal to work with directly.
Yeah, and you found your focus, and that's what you stuck with.
I did. I knew when I went to college I wanted to work as a social work administrator, mm-hmm. as opposed to a clinician. One of the nice things about being up in Kodiak is it was a very tiny place.
Yeah.
It was at the height of the feminist movement, mm-hmm. and I worked with domestic violence and sexual assault victims. So I was able to do many things that most people wouldn't be able to do without a degree.
Yeah.
So by the time I went to school, I kind of knew what I wanted to do.
And
I had already written grants. Yeah. I knew I wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to school, I knew that was the focus I wanted. And a good friend of mine told me social work was the most flexible degree, and it has been.
Oh, good. So your degree was in social work.
It was in social work, and in my master's program, there was a focus on administration, but you had to take courses in everything.
Oh, yeah.
I had all the clinical classes, mm-hmm. and I commuted with a woman from the Cape. We lived on the Cape, so it was a fair commute to Boston.
Oh, yes.
And she was very clinical, so she took some of my classes. I took some of hers just so that we could commute together.
Oh, good.
So I had all those clinical courses and was actually very good in the clinical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't what had my juices flowing.
Yeah. And you have to have your passion. You really do.
You do. You do.
I'm so glad that you came here to share your passion with us.
Well, I'm glad I got a chance to do that.
Oh, that's marvelous. Now, how much of a staff do you have here at your service?
There are two of us that are full-time. Mm-hmm. There's myself and then Jane McLaren, who is the director of programs. And we have a part-time bookkeeper who is in a couple hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have 30 to 35 chore workers that work part-time taking care of all of our clients in the community.
And most of them are women, but you said you do have a few men.
We do have a few men. Right now, we just hired one more, so I think at this time we have one, two, three. I think we have six.
Oh, good.
Which is pretty big for us.
Yeah, yeah.
And it helps a lot because we have a lot of requests for yard work. In the spring and the fall, our busiest months are May and June,
mm-hmm.
and October and November, because people are opening everything up in the spring.
Yep.
And those men are able to help with moving the air conditioners, putting the lawn furniture in and out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, as they get older, they just can't do the physical things like that.
I know.
But yet they still love to be out on the patio all summer.
Sure.
So we have the men and a few couple. I have to say we have a few women.
That'll do it too.
Who can do it also.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you have a board of directors?
We do. We have a board of directors with 11 people,
mm-hmm.
Covering all of the seven towns that we are currently in. Except right now, we do not have somebody in Norfolk. Our board member in Norfolk had to back out due to her own professional commitments. But we have 11 board members, all volunteers.
And they're responsible for policy?
Policy setting. And fundraising. Mm-hmm. They also are very, very active in fundraising. They're one of the most dedicated boards I've ever worked with. They know the role of the board, and they stay within that role. They do not try to get involved in the running of the agency day to day.
Oh, good.
Now, they're very, very good about staying in their role. They're very, very supportive. They have done everything they can. When I got here, things were a little bit rocky financially.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very, very supportive to make sure that I had what I needed and that we could do what we needed to do to get the agency back on sure footing.
Wonderful.
And we've done that, and the wonderful board is what keeps an executive director someplace.
Yes.
If you have a board that
yes.
does not know their role, and they get involved with the day-to-day nitty-gritty,
mm-hmm.
the executive director doesn't stay.
Yeah.
I'm here, and I don't plan on leaving.
Oh, good. Oh, good. We're so pleased.
Thank you.
And I say that because I personally use the service. This is
right.
not flattery. I've used the service. I know how well it works. And that's important.
And the pieces that we've done over the last 3 years, before I came, there wasn't full-time staff. I think the executive director might have been full-time, but everybody else was part-time. And I really felt it was important to keep Jane, who was already here, mm-hmm. in her role and to build up her time as much as I could. So mm-hmm. when I first got here, I backed down to part-time so that she could be here and do the same number of hours. And gradually the board, through their support and willingness to invest in it if we needed to, in what we were doing, we both got up to full-time. So that by the end of the first year that I was here, we both were full-time, which made it much easier and better for all of our clients and our staff.
Oh, sure.
Because they're able to reach someone.
Yeah.
Because there's two of us and we have time off, there's always at least one of us that's here mm-hmm. that can cover things.
Yes.
Often both of us are here, but there's always at least one of us covering things.
And that's reassuring.
Because
there's nothing worse than calling and getting a machine.
We do a twice a year client survey to see what's going on. The first survey that was done when I came on, one was mailed out as I was coming in. And as the results were coming back, one of the comments there was that people couldn't reach anybody in the office. So that was addressed, and after that first survey, we have not had that comment come back.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, we have not had that as a concern from the clients. And the staff have also mentioned it, that it's much easier and they feel more confident taking on new clients because they know they can reach us and we're going to be able to help them if they have a problem. When you don't have someone here all the time, that's impossible.
Yeah.
And where it was just the executive director, she couldn't handle everything at once. You really needed to have both components taken care of, the clients and the staff and the administration.
Absolutely.
So that's what our focus was in the beginning, and that's how we've managed to function.
And that's why it's such a good agency.
That's why we're solid at this point.
Yeah.
Yes.
It takes effort.
It does.
It takes effort, and you have to have a direction and stick with it in order to get where you want to go.
Right. And a commitment and the background and knowledge and how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have someone come in that had the background and the experience to know where to put the focus mm-hmm. and then how to get there.
You recently had a garden party.
We did.
And you said it went well.
It went very well. It's our main fundraiser for the year. Mm-hmm. We have that and our annual appeal. And they bring in the majority of our money. And we managed to... It was at a gorgeous property. We had many things that popped up at the last minute. We usually have a big tent in case it rains. And because of the underground irrigation, it was suggested at the last minute that we not have a tent. Thankfully, the weather...
Oh, bless you.
...was good.
Yeah.
But it was actually gorgeous because their backyard... Every year, it's at a different location.
Mm-hmm.
So that everybody gets to see a different...
Venue.
A different garden that someone else has in the area. And this was overlooking more mountains and a valley. And... It was just gorgeous. And I think not having the tent made it even better because it was more open and you could really see the views in the garden. Will we do that in the future? Probably not because it's very iffy. If it rains, you know, it's very hard.
Yeah.
But it's something that, we really worked out well.
Oh, I'm glad. How do you get your clients?
Our clients come most often by word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
They frequently will come from the town's social workers, social mm-hmm. service agents,
mm-hmm.
sometimes from the visiting nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, we get a call from a doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
We get calls from Gear and Noble because they'll have people that come in for rehab and they're headed back home. It may be a return client or it may be a new client that has had an illness or a fracture mm-hmm. and they're going to need help when they go home, so they contact us. So, and sometimes it is just because we're out there. We go to the VNA health fair every year. We put out brochures. We have posters around. So occasionally it's through those, but most often it's word of mouth.
That seems to work. Because then you get a recommendation, as I've given recommendations mm-hmm. for chore service to a group of ladies that are in the area.
Right.
And I can say, you know, I've used it. I used it for my husband. I've used it for myself. I know it works. And that gives more confidence to call and say, you know, will you take me on? And I think you mentioned that you have gentlemen that do snow shoveling.
We do, unfortunately. Down at Templeton Farms in Kent, we had one worker, a gentleman, who would go there in the middle of snowstorms and clean off cars and move them for the plows. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, his wife is retired and they're moving to Maine. So
he gets lots of chances to snow shovel in Maine.
Yeah, but we do have workers, men and women, who if they get to somebody's house and they see that they need to have some shoveling, they will. Mm-hmm. So that does happen.
Oh yeah, we're in the country.
It does, and we really want everybody to be able to get out and be safe.
How do you get your workers? Is that also
again mostly word of mouth?
Mm-hmm.
The most successful workers that we get are word of mouth, because they're friends of friends.
Yeah.
We do advertise occasionally. We did run an ad this year for the first time in a number of years and got a few responses from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Others sometimes they'll read an article that we have in the paper, like there'll be a thing. Today's Thursday, so in the Lakeville Journal is the big thank you for our garden party, and it talks, you know, a little bit. And there's an article that was in the Waterbury Republican because of the garden party, mm-hmm. because there was someone there. And sometimes people will read that, and they'll get in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's often how we get them.
What's your interview process? If somebody says, I want to come and work for you, how do you process
that? What we like to have happen is for somebody to either go to our website, or we can mail an application, or they can pick one up. They fill one out, they get it to us. We have a chance to look at it, try to see, you know, whether or not we think they're going to be a fit.
Mm-hmm.
And we interview almost everyone who applies, just because at some point they may fit a niche that we have with one of our clients. Our clients have very individual needs, and the workers have individual talents and skills.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to make a match. We do an interview, and yeah. if it looks like they're going to be appropriate for us, then we do a background check. Everybody has a background check and a drug test before they come to work for us, and a check on their driver's license. They have to have a driver's license. So,
is your interview over the telephone or is it face to face?
We may talk to them over the phone, but it's face to face because of the work that they're going to do in someone else's home.
Mm-hmm.
We do a face to face interview, at least one.
Mm-hmm.
And usually both of us will meet them. Sometimes it doesn't work that we're not both here when they're available. But usually if Jane is interviewing someone, I'll come out so that I meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that, you know, they meet both of us so that mm-hmm. they know who we are. And
yeah.
and we both meet them.
Now, you've been getting funding from the Northwest Connecticut Area Agency on Aging.
Yes.
And
we've gotten that since the beginning.
That's from the beginning. And
the very first piece of funding came from Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation.
Yeah.
While they were waiting for the Agency on Aging funding to come through. But they've provided funding to us for the whole 26 years.
And Cornwall has given money?
Cornwall Foundation has given us money.
And public health?
Yeah. The
is that state?
No, it's a foundation. It's located in Sharon.
Yes.
The Community
yep, yep.
Health Foundation?
Yep.
They've provided funding in the past.
And do the towns contribute?
The towns all contribute. They contribute what they can in their budgets.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the right now. It's the time that we'll start getting our money from the towns, and you know, thankfully, they all appreciate the work that we do for their elderly and disabled in their communities. So they all do give us what they can.
It's a caring area.
I mean, it is
cradle to grave.
It
I mean, I have done so many interviews with so many different services that are provided. which I wish had been provided in Massachusetts for my dad. They weren't there.
I live in Massachusetts, and I'm really upset that this isn't there for when I'm going to need it.
Yeah, I know, I know. Well, move to Salisbury. That's a pitch. Okay. What do the workers get paid?
The workers, we just increase so that the workers are paid $12.50 an hour.
That's more than I ever made.
I know, but everything's changed.
Oh, I know.
And that's good for our area. You know, it's in line with the area.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we would always like to pay more. We in the past, we were paying $12 an hour, but we were able to give them a slight bonus twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we increased their hourly wage because we've been able to maintain that rate.
Yeah.
With the bonuses in there for the last couple of years, and we thought it was safe to do so. So we're hoping that we can still manage to do a bonus, but we don't know.
Well, you know, it depends. It depends.
Right. We pay a little bit more for those that are doing yard work and the heavy outdoor work, but most workers are paid the $12.50 an hour.
And do you pay mileage?
We pay mileage. If we ask someone to go outside of their immediate area where they live, we will help with mileage for them to get where they're going. Also, if they're running errands for a client or anything, they do get paid mileage.
Okay. Who's eligible for chore service?
Anybody who is a senior or disabled qualifies roughly. Our mission, though, is to help those people that need assistance to stay in home safely. It's designed for those that really need to have some help so that they can stay at home. They can't afford necessarily to be able to hire private help because in this area, private help is very expensive. And we don't do a means test, but we do have people who pay us according to what they can afford. We give a suggested rate, which is based on a federal rate. Quite honestly, it hasn't been adjusted since I've been here.
Yeah.
No, it hasn't been adjusted in a long time. But we trust people to give us what they can afford. And some people who could hire private help still come to us and they pay us pretty close to the private help rate, which helps to cover other people.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who can pay us above what our cost is helping someone else in the community that has need.
Yeah. It's paying forward, it's giving back,
right.
It's helping the organization. Now, when you say senior, what age limit are we talking about?
With the Agency on Aging, it's 60. So with them, anyone over 60 qualifies. So we kind of go on that.
And the area that you serve is all?
We have the northwest seven towns of Canaan, Falls Village, Salisbury, Sharon, Cornwall, Norfolk,
and Kent.
And Kent. I didn't go down far enough on Route 7. So it's a pretty large area.
Yeah. It's region 1 in the school district and Norfolk.
Being from Massachusetts, I don't know your school district,
yeah,
so I couldn't just say that, but yes.
I was in the school district for 24 years. I know the district.
Yeah, it's the northwest corner.
It certainly is. Do you have future plans, programs that you'd like to implement?
There used to be an active visiting angels?
Friendly visitors and gardening angels.
Yes. And those were volunteer programs. And I think that they fell by the wayside because more people in the area that were volunteering actually needed to get paid. Our workforce actually is, many of them are retired or semi-retired, and they use us for a supplemental income because they can set their own hours. We make a referral to a client, and then the worker and the client get together and figure out their schedule and what's going to work for them.
Yeah.
So it works well for someone who is either a young mother, and we do have a few of those that are mothers, and they're doing it around children's
mm-hmm.
schedules.
Sure.
But we have many who are older and seniors themselves. And we've even had a couple of workers who have used us when they had surgery or something.
That's a real accolade.
Yeah, we've had two just this summer that have been out for surgery that was not work-related, but we were able to help them. They would qualify for our services, but even if they hadn't, we would still help them because that's what we do.
That's what you do. You help people. That's the whole point. You help people. When you became the director, what tasks did you see that you had to do?
The first one that I needed to do was really stabilize the organization financially. The organization had gone through a lot of change. They were just ending a state contract that was putting demands on them that was outside of the mission and was financially draining. So the first thing that I needed to do was pull everything together and financially stabilize the organization. At the same time that I was doing that, Jane was needing to really tighten up and put together files and things that hadn't been well taken care of. Mm-hmm. When you only have one person trying to run an organization, that's not at the top of the list. And so it took a year for her to get our staff records and our client files where they needed to be. Mm-hmm. So that now she's very, very organized. And so now when she's not here, happened last week, someone called and had a question about a client, I could pull the file and there was a note and I could let them know this is what's going on with that person.
Oh, nifty.
She's very, very good about keeping track of things like that. So that,
good.
Yeah, good.
All right. Now you said that you do a client survey.
We do a client survey twice a year. Mm-hmm. It's actually a requirement of our grant, but it's something that we would be doing anyway just because it's good to do. And last year we started doing them, we made them measurable. They had been just questions, you know, what do you think of CHORE? We did things on a scale, very open-ended, which didn't leave it to be able to measure anything.
Yeah.
So we changed it so that there's now a scale, and we're about to do our second one that we can then compare to the first one. Or is it our third? It's our second or third, so that we can compare them.
Okay.
And it's really nice when it's measurable, because then you can do pretty pie charts and graphs.
Oh, yeah.
And Jane's really good at those.
Flashy stuff.
Yes. So we put together a really nice report now based on our survey to let people know, you know, this is what people think of us. This is what they think we can change and improve.
Ah, that's wonderful. Future plans. Now, you're not going anywhere. What are the plans for the organization, besides possibly putting in these two new programs?
Well, the board at this point, because we now have the running of the agency happening very well, the board is going to start doing a focus in September when they meet. Up until now, of course, our garden party was a focus. So in September, they meet every other month. They're going to start looking at a planned giving program. And you know, we know that we have a few people in the community that have us in their wills, but a real planned giving program for people in the community. Mm-hmm. And we need to do things like update our staff manual, some things like that that you just don't usually have time to do. And so we're going to work on updating things like the manuals, revamping our client packet that goes out to everybody. Just kind of updating those things.
Okay. Anything that you'd like to add that I haven't asked you about your service?
Just that everybody needs to remember that we're here. If they have neighbors that need assistance, if they need it because they have surgery and they just for a short time need our help, we have a number of clients that, you know, we've helped just because they broke a leg or they broke an arm, and so doing things are difficult. We can come in and we can help for a short period of time. It doesn't have to be a long time. But if they know somebody that needs help, let us know. And let's see if there's something we can do to help them stay at home safely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.